everybody, Patty here. Welcome to the Witching Hour. Yep, we have a beautiful, beautiful inside and out guest for you this week. The one and only Kadrick Olson. Yep, but before I bring on Kadrick, where's Patty? This is the day of the week when I have to look at my calendar. So if you are looking at this, the week that it first dropped, which is the week of April 29th, 2024, I am in Romania, or on a plane landing in Romania, depending on what time this is. Yes, my witch and vampire tour of Romania has finally happened. So I'm going to be tooling around with a few amazing people. And then I'm coming back. Also mid-May, check me at Pennhurst. I'm going to be there at Pennhurst Paracon. Then I'm going to be in Texas. You can't remember all this. I don't expect you to. Go to pattynegri.com. Now I'm not, and you could find my whole list where I'm going to be, but still, even though I won't be there, Wednesday, where are you going to be? With the Witches Movie Coven, with my friends, Heather, Jason, Courtney, Richard Leal. Keep them in line for me, will you? Tell me Patty would like this movie. You guys can be my voice at the Witches Movie Coven. I love that. And if they have any Scared and Alone, go to that too. Be my voice there. Stand up for me while I'm traipsing through castles in Romania. Other than that, I have lots of events coming up. In June, I'm going to be in Ventura at that Paracon with Stefan Bregotti. I think I'm headed to New York in the beginning of June to not launch one of my new books, my Women Gone Wild Intuition book. Way more than I can say. So where I am is on the other side of the planet. And where you are is wherever you want to be. Create your life the way you want it, you guys. So see you when I get back. Hey, everybody. Yep, it is time for the Willow Report. And she's a little antsy right now. You want to know why? Because just outside that door, my husband is getting ready for a play date. Not just any play date. This is going to be a pizza play date because my husband's been ill for a while and not able to do the play dates. And all these beautiful neighbors took care of us, puppy play date neighbors, and brought us food and all sorts of great things. And this is our thank you back to these beautiful neighbors. So Willow gets to see all her amazing friends. The people get to eat pizza and probably some of the pups. So she hears all the excitement outside right now. So that's why she's trying to get out of my arms, even though you can hardly tell. You probably think she is the most lethargic. Yeah, it's out there. They're out there. But she isn't. She is the fastest, funniest, furriest baby out there. And she wants to go to her pizza party. You want to get to know your neighbors? Get a pet. Or borrow a pet, or go stand outside while they're walking their pet. In olden times, neighbors all got to know each other and stuff. And in modern times, it doesn't matter if you live in an apartment or a house or a condo or the city or the suburbs. We live by people, most of us. Get to know them a little. And one good, safe, easy way is through their pets. If you have a dog park or something, go to it. But look at the people who live right by you. It's amazing. We have made the bestest of friends. Common denominator, fur babies. So go talk to your neighbors and then maybe you could have a puppy pizza party too. That's the Willow Report. You ready? You ready? Yeah. Wonder if there are special days are good to do special things or especially your special magic? Well, actually, there is. Now, I'm an in-the-moment witch, so if I need something that's one day, I will do it on that day. But if you want to plan something out, do you know that every day, and you can almost tell by the title of the word, it relates to certain attributes and actually to certain planets? It does. Let's start with Sunday. Sunday. It's the day of the sun. It's ruled by the sun and everything that means it's time to get out and to do things. It's very male. It's just kind of do it. So if you want to do a Sunday ritual or magic, do something that's powerful and stepping forward. Now, if we're moving into Monday, now that's ruled by the moon. The moon is more flowy, more feminine. It's good for a lot of women's issues, for going inside and looking at things. Do that on a Monday. Now, Tuesday is Mars. Mars. So be careful with Tuesday. It's a powerful day, so you've got to direct in where you want to go. Look at, it's good for family. It's good for protections of things, but what you want to go into. Now, Wednesday's a weird day because I'm actually planning this on a Wednesday and it gets me all mixed up because Wednesday's ruled by Mercury and it can, in my world, the way I do, it can be confusing and things, but it's also good for clarity. So it's like you want to focus in on what's going on. Thursday is ruled by Jupiter. So anything you want to work with Jupiter, go that. Friday, my favorite, is Venus. You want to do love magic? Do it on a Friday. Bring in love. Bring in Venus. Anything self-love, romantic love, family love. Friday is the day to do it. And Saturday? Saturday, it goes back to Saturn. So it's about people and protection and all sorts of things. Now, I just gave you the tiniest little. You could easily look this up. And if you want to do love and it's not Friday, there, every single hour of the day, we're getting into astrology, has planetary times. There is a time for each one. But if you want to design your day by the what planet is ruling it, just look at the title. Monday, moons. Saturday, Saturn. Sunday, it's the sun. Magic is everywhere, and sometimes the day counts. I have some big and beautiful magic for you today. Yes, indeed. Personal friend, I am honored to say. He's a paranormal investigator. He's an author, speaker, acclaimed teacher, shadow worker, and more. Kadrick Olson. Welcome, Kadrick.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. Always love it. We have the best time all the time.
We have the best time. You are truly one of the most magical men I know. And I don't even know how to say the word. Who you are is just like, no one's going to mistake anybody for you. And I don't just mean your beautiful beard and stature and all that. Your magic, your empowerment, you're combining the ancient Norse with, now we're going to talk about star seeds and stuff. It's like, there's nobody out there. You are the one and only person with this voice right now. So thank you for coming back on my show. It's been way too long since I've even seen you, let alone had you on.
I'm really excited to be here. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a long time. I've been keeping busy. I've been hunkering down, putting together some new shadow work courses and putting together some new training so that we can help bring some folks into like a higher level of being and enhance their life at a much more authentic level.
So let's go there, because shadow work, that's a word that's been buzzing for a couple of years. And a lot of people are going, it sounds good, but what is that? What is shadow work and why do we need it?
Absolutely. It's a great question, because shadows are the things that maybe we don't want to look at, the things that we don't want to acknowledge about ourselves. You know, the deeper, darker places of the things that we're embarrassed by, maybe we're ashamed of, or even the things that torque us off and irk us, that even trauma could be there. So these are the deep, dark places that we hold within ourselves that manifest in thoughts and feelings, behaviors, beliefs that are not serving us, that aren't helping us. In fact, they're probably hindering us and stopping us from being who we need to be, who we are authentically. And shadow work is an interesting, different take on working with these energies than, let's say, light work. Because, you know, light work, we want to put love into things, we want to put acceptance, and we want to feel good about everything. Well, with shadow work, we go into the darker place on purpose. We let ourselves feel that embarrassment. We let ourselves feel the shame, the anger, the upset, whatever that comes up, so that we finally give a voice to this darker part of us, the shadowy part of us. And by casting that light onto that shadowy place, we get to know better why we have those shadow traits, why that shadow energy is there, where it came from, how it thinks it's helping us. Because that's one of the key parts about shadow work, is every one of your shadows is actually helping you. It helped you at some point in your life, and it still thinks it's helping you. And if you keep pushing it down, if you keep trying to put peace, love, and light on it, you keep trying to bypass it spiritually, it's just going to dig in and it's going to become harder to work with. But when you give it a voice, when you give it an understanding and acceptance and gratitude, then you finally start to understand what is so amazing and wonderful about you. You start to understand more of your own authentic nature, and then that light shines through because you're able to go into the darker places. And that's what shadow work is in a nutshell.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. It's not just, yeah, I'm loving light, because you're right. Isn't our psyche naturally, it wants us to survive. And that was kind of a survival method for it, isn't it? A little bit.
Absolutely. Our Paleolithic ancestors are what basically kept them alive is what is, interestingly enough, one of the thresholds we have to cross over as humanity. Because what it meant to be a Paleolithic human was you lived in your own little tribe, your own little community, and it was a lot of us versus them. There was a lot of scarcity for resources, for food, for safety, for protection. So there was a lot of, let's say, aggression, violence, and hostility to protect what you had and what was yours, and caution about them. There was fear of the dark, because that's where the predators were. So we got a lot of our fear, aggression, and hostility from the things that kept our Paleolithic ancestors alive. But now we're in this new phase of humanity. We're going through this massive collective shift where we are able to move into a higher state of being, where we don't need to be afraid of the dark, where we don't have to do this us versus them. We don't have to be constantly fighting against anything. We can actually come up to everything and say, wait, hold, this isn't the kind of work that I want to be doing. This isn't the kind of person I need to be. So we recognize and acknowledge that and transcend it.
It's beautiful. So what is going on now? This, like you're saying, this world, yeah, we don't have to go fight dinosaurs or tigers and the tribe next door. But what is going on in your perception of how you, like you said, how we need this shadow work now? And then you also mentioned star seeds, which is interesting because the star seed is another one of those buzzwords. And I wouldn't, you know, until I heard you talking, think about it. Something I'm hearing out of Kadric Olsen, the Norseman, the men's spirituality men. So what is this star seed thing?
Yeah, that's definitely an important part of what we're going through. You see, if we were to ignore the news and we were to ignore social media and we look just statistically, just with statistics only, we are living in the most peaceful and prosperous time in human history by a long shot. The stuff that is making the news right now, the stuff that is so upsetting to us in the news, 20 years ago wouldn't have ever made it onto the news. 30, 40 years ago, we would have just been like, oh, okay. It would have been buried deep in the newspaper. Nobody would have ever acknowledged it. But today, it's appalling. Today is like, no, we can't handle that anymore. We got to stop it. And it is that sort of level of appall that helps us to move into that higher state of being where we don't need these wars anymore. We don't need to have a lot of the suffering that is going on in the world. It's still going on. It definitely still is. And we have to acknowledge that it's still there. But what's been happening is we have been doing our spiritual work for a while now, for decades, maybe even more than a century now. We've been doing this higher level spiritual work little by little. And the things that were once acceptable and an acceptable part of our world, generation after generation becomes unacceptable. And we're becoming more and more of a peaceful, more of a peaceful culture planet-wide. And I really strongly think that it comes from people individually doing their spiritual work, doing their work to do their ascension practices, to really heal their own trauma, to heal their own shadows. And that's getting inserted into the collective unconscious. And the whole of humanity is coming around and going, we don't need to be that way anymore. We don't need to experience that anymore. And weirdly enough, that's where the star seeds come in. I'm sorry, it's kind of a bit of a long wind here.
This
but...
is great. No, I can sit for hours and just hear your voice. So you're good.
But that's where star seeds come in. And if you were to have talked to me 5 years ago or so, I would have known the concept. I would have said, sure, fine, okay. But I don't know about that. I just didn't have enough information about it at that time. And it just seemed a little too far off and bizarre, you know. Especially with the stuff that I was doing, I like to have grounded spiritual working. You know, I always believe in having your feet firmly on the ground while your head is exploring the clouds. And so star seeds really felt ungrounded to me. But these past few years of working with clients one-on-one and doing group classes and group sessions, and a lot of the work that I do, I call in guides, my guides and my clients' guides. And I'm having multiple conversations going on all at once. And I started noticing human-shaped guides showing up, but they were like blue in color. And their faces and their heads were different. I'm like, what is this? And it's what I've learned since then. It's the typical depiction of what we would call an Andromedan or an Arcturian. I'm like, really? Extraterrestrials? And so I got familiar with what their energy was like by interacting with these extraterrestrial beings and continuing to work with clients. I started to notice that energy in the client. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? This is like an extraterrestrial soul in the body. Again, 5 years ago, that would have seemed ungrounded and I was uncertain about it. But working with many clients and I'm starting to recognize these extraterrestrial energies in a human body, I'm going, wait a minute, what's going on? So I stopped and I took a look at the whole starseed phenomena, and that's exactly what it is because we are at this crossroads of humanity. We are shifting over to this new state of being where we're starting to let go of the artificial fear. And what I mean by artificial fear is if you're watching news media, I will firmly state that the news media's number one job is to scare you into watching the next commercial. Meaning, oh, here is this one drug that thousands of people take every day. Recently, a child died from it. After this commercial, you'll find out if yours could be next. So now we're engaged. We're now afraid. Like, oh my God, my child is going to die from this medication. That's artificial fear. And there's so much of it out there. There's so much propaganda. There's so much of, oh, the infamous they are coming to get us. We've got to stop them before they get us and destroy our way of life. Well, that's not the case. They are just as worried about us as we are worried about them. And so at this crossroads in time, these star seeds are starting to come in and teach humanity how to do this higher level spiritual work, how to do this growing beyond our Paleolithic programming so that we can evolve beyond what we know as human right now and move our culture into this more advanced state. I do think a big part of that is our technology. We are about ready to become a galactic citizen planet. We are about ready to get to know our galactic neighbors. And in order for that to happen, we have to move to a higher state of being. And that's why these star seeds are starting to be here more prevalently to teach us how to grow beyond what we thought it meant to be human.
That is beautiful. So they're like hybrids kind of thing? Is that what you're sort of saying or not?
Not quite. When we look to like the ufology communities and the contactee communities, they tend to refer to a hybrid as somebody who is genetically part human and genetically part extraterrestrial. And a starseed could be a completely fully genetically human being, could be a hybrid, but they could be fully genetically human. It's just the soul is not human oriented. It's not human origined. It is from another world, from another planet.
That's fascinating. So do more, again, as the word grows and people get awareness, do most people know that they're star seeds or is there certain telltale signs to such things or?
This is one of the things that's kind of interesting about looking at star seeds because there are many different kinds of advanced souls coming into human bodies right now. I don't like to use this word too much, but like angelic realms, you know, higher level beings, ascended masters, maybe they've always been coming into human bodies. We've seen their teachings for centuries. So they're still coming into human bodies. So are these other beings. I kind of got off track with the thought here.
Just keep going.
But it's really kind of hard to tell in a sense, but one of the key signs, if you're one of these advanced beings, a cosmic soul, let's call it, instead of just a starseed or ascended master, an angelic being or whatever, let's call it a cosmic soul. One of the telltale signs of a cosmic soul is you look around the world and something's wrong with it. You know, you're seeing maybe the suffering, maybe you're seeing some of the financial plights that are happening. You're looking at all of these things in the world going, this just isn't right, that something's not right here. You can't quite put your finger on what's wrong. I mean, you can say the suffering, you could say the poverty, you can say all these things, but you know that there's still something deeper that's wrong. You can't quite put your finger on it, but you know that there's something there. You also know that you're here for a bigger mission. You have a a bigger purpose to be here than just a cubicle dweller, you know, doing the mundane 9 to 5, and you're feeling that pull, but you don't quite know what it is that you're doing. And even worse is a part of the shadow work that we're doing is, you know, you have this higher purpose. You know that there's something wrong with the world. You know that you want to help in some way, but there's like this inner voice that doesn't come from you. It comes from your upbringing that's telling you, no, you're not qualified to do that. No, you're not the right person to do that. Oh no, this is all hokey bunk, wacky woo woo stuff. It's not even real. And people are going to laugh at you. So you're hearing these shadow voices playing over in your head, but yet you're still feeling this pull. It's like, I want to do this work. I want to teach. I want to help. But how do I work with that? So if you're looking at all of these aspects of yourself, that's a strong indicator that you're a higher level being here to help with that purpose. And a lot of the times we get just bogged down by the trappings of the 3D world, keeping us from doing the kind of work that needs to be done.
So, yeah, that is fascinating. And that makes sense. Whatever title you want to put on it, cosmic being, starseed, and there is a rise in these type of people, whatever, again, title they want to put on themselves. Is that so? Do you see it as this shift that is coming, that we are going to be this galactic place? And
it's inevitable.
Yay.
It is inevitable. If we look to like the Drake equation, that is a mathematical formula that basically says there should be hundreds of thousands of habitable worlds in our solar system. In our galaxy, hundreds of thousands of them. But then we get into the Fermi paradox, which says, well, if there are hundreds of thousands, why haven't we seen them? And there's a lot of people say we have. They're here. They're a part of this. I don't know that the number is quite as big as hundreds of thousands, maybe, but they're out there. Undoubtedly, there are other worlds out there. And as our technology advances, as we start to explore transhumanism, you know, integrating the human mind with technology and computers, as we start to genetically modify what it means to be human, we also have to modify what it means to be human at the spiritual level. We have to be on top of all of these changes. We have to be ready to take that place, because I think as part of the Fermi paradox, which is, I should back up a little bit here. The Drake equation is a mathematical formula that calculates the number of stars that could have planets around them and the number of planets that are around there that would be in the habitable zone. And therefore it kind of extrapolates and makes a supposition about how many habitable worlds are out there. As with the Fermi paradox, is basically saying, well, if they're there, why haven't we seen them? Which leads to the great filter, which the great filter means, oh, is there a cosmic disaster that destroys these planets before intelligent life can happen? Or does intelligent life happen and they destroy themselves? Like, do they have a big nuclear war where they destroy them? Is that why we haven't found them? Well, the thing is I do think that they found us, that they are here, that they're integrating with us, that they're helping us at this level because they know we're ready for that next step. And we cannot go out into the universe, part of this great filter. We cannot go out into the universe as a hostile, aggressive, warlike species. We just can't. That's not acceptable by any means. So we have to overcome our own hostilities. We have to overcome that aggressive tendency to conquer. And of course, that comes with conquering that fear, us versus them. One of the biggest reasons why I don't think extraterrestrials are as prominent in our culture as that we're starting to see it more UAPs, more UFOs. You know, even the Pentagon has acknowledged it. The government has acknowledged it. The Congress has done sessions acknowledging it's there. But I think the big reason why that they're not as prevalent and prominent as they could be is because, imagine this, there's two reasons for it. Imagine this, is that these beings come down, they do present themselves to the world. They say, hey, we're here. Here's some technology that will help clean your environment. Here's some medicine that'll help cure diseases. Here are things that will help you. There will still be those groups of people of like, well, nope, I've got my guns. I've got my AR-15s. I know they're here to take over our world. So we're just going to blow them out of the sky. So we're not ready for that. The other part of this is, if we look at human history, and it's not fair to use human history to cosmic history because we don't know cosmic history yet. But if we look at human history, every time that there has been one culture that encroached itself onto another culture that said, hey, we are more advanced than you are. We have better technology. We have better political systems. We have better financial systems. So we're going to come into your country and teach you our form of politics, our form of economy. We're going to teach you our way of being. Well, those colonizers failed every time. Look at human history. They failed every single time. But if any culture itself decides to learn a new way, they decide to develop a new political system, they decide to develop a new economic system, or they learn from another culture, and then they start to integrate it into their own culture, it's more successful. So if we have extraterrestrials that come here that are going to save us and protect us, we're going to resist it. We're going to blow it off. We can't do that. But if we start to change ourselves first from the inside out, we start to modify ourselves and we grow and evolve internally, then all of a sudden they'll be like, great, look what you guys did. Hey, welcome and join us now. Now that you did it on your own. And they're here to help. They're going to give nudges, guidance, and teachings for those who are ready to learn, but they're not going to do it for us. That's for us to do.
That's beautiful. So if somebody's listening to this, watching this, whichever, and they're going, well, yeah, and because you do see a trend, like and even looking at like Instagram and TikTok and shorts, all this positivity and educational and learning and spirituality in many different forms, it is amazing to me. I will sit there and watch it and going, look at this. It's not just how many car crashes can we have. It's not just what we see. So if somebody's watching or listening to this and they go, okay, well, I want to be a part of that. Is that what your spiritual path, your growth is? Or what should somebody do? If either they're new to a path or just going, well, I don't know if I'm a starseed or not, but how do I get to this evolvement place?
Great question. I would really say tap into what is sacred to you. Like really look at what's sacred to you, because here's a twofold process. Your version of what is sacred is unique to you. There's no way anybody can define or describe what is sacred to you. You have to experience it yourself. And your understanding, your perception of sacredness at that level is your own divine spark. That is your own connection to source, universe, the gods, whatever you want to call it. That is your, let's say, radio frequency, because we can think of maybe the brain as a radio that tunes into spiritual frequencies. And the more you can tap into that sense of the sacred, that feeling of the sacred, that becomes an energy state within you. And the more you are building that up, the more you're connecting to that, the more you're going to be tuned into the more things that are going on. The human brain has a bias to it. It likes to find things that agree with the brain, with the things that we believe, the things that we know and that we understand. And if you are perpetually living in a pessimistic state, no, this is going to fall apart. No, they're out to get us. No, that's just terrible, awful. The more you're going to find and reinforce that. And you're going to think, well, no, the world's not a great place. But you tap into that sacred energy. You work with that sacred energy. You let it build up within you. And you're working with that. Then you're going to start noticing different things in the world because you're shifting. You're changing yourself from the inside out. So that's the first one of the things to do is just tap into your sacredness and make it a regular thing that will move you into a different state of being. But then you got to do the shadow work. You got to do the shadow work because there are tethers. There are things that will bind you to this 3D world that want to reinforce themselves and tell you that it's true. This is sort of like the crab bucket effect. And what I mean by that is, have you ever talked to a friend or family, a coworker, and you said, hey, I want to get this new job. I want to apply for this new position. I want to do this new thing. And they come back to you with, oh, why would you do that? Do you think the responsibility, look at the work, you're not qualified for that. You can't do it. You know, they have a million excuses why you can't do that. They're going to pull you back down to their comfort zones. And that's a lot of what we're living in, is we are letting ourselves be defined by the comfort zones of other people. And that's where we pick up our shadows. It's like, oh, I just want to fit in. Oh, I just want to belong. I don't want to be this weirdo, freaky person. Well, shadow work tells you that you're that weirdo, freaky person because you're tapped into something amazing, something beautiful, something wonderful. And that's why you're here. So it's kind of interesting as we go back to that thing we talked about. When you look around the world and you see things that are wrong with it, pay attention to that. What's wrong with the world? Can you focus on what area really irks you, area that torques you off, something that you just want to fix desperately, and pay attention to that contrast? Because if you can pair your sacred connection with your awareness of that contrast, that gives you your sense of purpose and why you're here and what you're doing. And you'll start to notice that higher level sensibility to it. So you don't necessarily need to read all of these books or take all these courses. It helps. Believe me, it helps.
Oh yeah.
But if you can do those two things, it'll start you going on that path. But then if you really want to go deeper, you want to do some more powerful work, you really want to tap into your purpose, you want to clear that shadows, you want to clear that, that's where you want to work with like a shadow worker like myself, where I will teach you how to connect with these higher level beings. I will teach you how to communicate with guides and high entities, and how to shift your energies and how to do different kinds of shadow work. Shadow work can get complex sometimes, but I'll teach you to do all those things so that you can really activate your higher being, your authentic self in this world.
That is beautiful. And yes, he's an amazing teacher and he has amazing courses. So I know you've always talked about the whisperers, the whispers that you hear. So some of these are from yours come from everywhere, right? Or probably all of ours do. So how does somebody, again, we're not going to go into a whole classroom setting, but for somebody to start hearing their whispers, is that one of the first things to be still and listen for?
I love that. Because here's the thing. These beings are around you all the time, everywhere. They have a weird vested interest in your well-being and your growth. And some of them are directly tied to your growth. I can't go into the details of why, but they are. And all you have to do is just reach out and ask. Now, they will communicate in two primary ways that we can be aware of. The first is what I call whispers, because it's really subtle. It's really quiet. And when you learn to not necessarily quiet your mind, because it's difficult to do, but when you find that quiet place in your mind where all of the thoughts are swirling around outside of that quiet place, when you tune into that quiet place, that's where you hear the whispers. And another reason why they're called whispers is it's not direct linear conversations like we have here. It's a non-linear. It's like a seed gets planted and then expands like a download. That information just kind of pops in and you just suddenly know stuff and you're having this conversation in a way that doesn't make sense verbally. So a lot of times when people say they want to connect with higher self, they would love it if higher self could just sit down in a chair across from them and have a conversation like we're having.
Yeah.
Higher level beings don't communicate that way. They just don't. It's like a little blip of energy comes in and that blip of energy expands to an understanding and awareness of something that you don't know how you know. But that's one of the ways that they communicate. The other way that they communicate is with the causal realms. And by causal realms, causality, it's things are going to happen around you. Synchronicities. They will kind of point you in the right direction. Like maybe you'll get this little blip in a download that says study subject X. And you're like, I don't know anything about subject X. This is really bizarre. What? I don't know what that is. I don't know how to find that. So you just kind of blow it off. You ignore it. You're like, well, that was weird. But now you go into the grocery store. And as you're standing in line in grocery store, you hear the people behind you talking and they're talking about subject X. You're like, what? Where did that come from? The next day you go to work and somebody drops a book on your desk. And they're like, I don't know what this is. I don't know where it came from, but I thought it might be something that interested you. And it's on subject X. And it's like, now you go, okay, great. I got this higher level blip of information said to study this. People at the store were talking about that. Now somebody gives me a book on that. That's your higher level beings talking to you through causality, through synchronicities. Maybe you're thinking about the subject going, really, should I be doing this? And then you check the clock and it's 11:11. Well, it's 11:11 twice a day. But why did you look at the clock that moment when you were thinking about that? Because that was a whisper going, hey, check the clock real quick.
Right.
So they will communicate with you on those synchronous levels through the causal realm. And so if you can pay attention to those blips and those downloads and the synchronicities, then you're tapped into your guides and that's how they're communicating with you and how you can know that you're on the right path to doing your work.
That is so beautifully put. And I bet you everybody tuning into this right now is going, oh my God, that's happened to me several times on about whatever subject, anything. And I could just go name a dozen right now. So that's, you guys are listening to your guide. So just, so now you're going higher beings and we star seeds. Does it matter for you to know who they are?
That's a fair question.
Yeah, it's a big question. What if you have a less smart guide, are we talking angels, demons, aliens, ancestors, elementals? A lot of people get, there's a lot of different philosophy, right, wrong, or anything. Should you try to figure out who you're getting your messages from? Or
the answer to that is maybe. Like, okay. For me, I can't work with words. I can't. I just don't work with words. I even tried talking with my guides and said, hey, people's names. Like, if we're doing seances and stuff, I need people's names. And my guides are like, no, you're terrible at people's names in the day-to-day world. We're not going to give you names in a seance setting. So I can't give you names. And I don't think it's a good idea to work with names either. Because I remember years ago, I grew up going to a spiritualist church, which is like a typical Protestant church. But at the end of the sermon, the end of the session, Anyway, they have transmediumship that happens after channeling. And one of the guides is like, of course, we're not going to tell you who's coming through and talking to you. Because what if it was Abraham Lincoln that had a big message for you that was important? You're not going to care about the message. You're just going to care that Abraham Lincoln was here talking to you. So that's part of the maybe. But at the same time, when I'm working with clients and guides will come through, I will see ancestors. I will see family members who have passed on that have joined their team of guides. I see animals. I see beings that have never had a human form, had never had a physical existence ever. They're just these ascended masters that always existed in the spiritual realms and extraterrestrials. I've seen all sorts of these different beings come through, and each one of them helps in a different way, has a different purpose, a different meaning. And the best way I could say is once you start to get familiar with these voices, these whispers that come through, you'll get to know how they feel. Because they may not have a physical name like we have, you know, like Patty or Kadrick, but they will have a feeling, like an energy signature to their communication. And you'll recognize, oh, it's that guy talking. Oh, it's this guy talking. And you'll start to recognize that. And they will also help in different areas of your life. Like maybe one is for your pet project. One will be for your finances. One is for relationships. They will all kind of have their own specialization to work with. And you'll start to recognize, like, oh, this is the one that talking to me about working on this stuff. So my answer is maybe, but the more you get used to it, the more you'll start to understand why I mean maybe.
I agree wholeheartedly with that, because we do. And when somebody goes, who is your spirit guide? It's like you said, there is many. We have animals. We have our inner band or outer band, the ancestors, the ascended masters, probably the other off-worlders or whatever you want to call. So I always say it's a committee.
Yes. It is very much a committee. And they don't always agree. I've had clients where I've actually seen their guides arguing with each other about what the best thing to do. And be aware that they are not always peace, love, and light, puppy dogs, and rainbows. Mine are pretty direct and straightforward. I don't want to quite go to the level of brutal, but they're like, you need to do this. This is where you're going. This is the process. You know, I follow the Norse practice for a long time, so it's kind of no surprise to me my guides are a little bit more direct and forceful about, but they're still understanding and they're still patient. Like if I come back and say, no, I'm not doing that, that's stupid. They're like, okay, fine. Here, let's teach you this stuff. And by the way, it is okay to push back and say, no, this is dumb. I'm not doing this. What's that all about? Because these beings have eternity. They don't experience time like we do. They're never going to rush you. They're never going to force you. And if you don't get it this lifetime, they're just going to shrug it off and say, cool, let's do it next lifetime then. Big deal. They don't care. It's up to you. If you make those choices, you still have that free will. So just be aware that they're all different.
I love that. So thank you. So, oh my gosh, time flies. How does this happen? So if people now are completely intrigued and want to know more about shadow work and star seeds and all things that make this beautiful Kadrick Olson, tell people where they can find you, anything you have coming up, social media, websites, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. The best place to find me is Kadrick.com. And if you look for my name, Kaedrich, K-A-E-D-R-I-C-H, you look for that name on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, you'll find me there for sure. And you'll also find on my website a link to, I've got a paranormal training page where it teaches you everything from how to run seance to what your spiritual neighbors are. And I've got a couple of very powerful and transformative shadow work course. I've got a 6-week and an 8-week course. Amazing stuff coming from that. And I am putting together a course right now that's going to be coming out soon. It's a 12-week course, which is part spiritual development, part shadow work. And it's all about healing the starseed wound, about discovering and activating your starseed potential, your cosmic soul's potential, your purpose here. And part of it is past life regression, because we're going to be doing some healing work on the past life stuff. And part of it is shadow work for this lifetime. So you'll be learning how to clear away the blocks and the tethers, the bindings that are stopping you from having a fulfilling, meaningful life, really, and start living your starseed purpose, your higher purpose for being here. That's coming out real soon. So you want to hit my website, get on my mailing list. You want to reach out to me on Facebook, because that's coming up probably in the next month or so, where that's going to be open and available. And you'll want to get on that one for sure. Yes.
You guys, check it out. I still carry around. I don't know. I have no idea where we were. New Orleans or Salem. You taught a little class on paranormal protection. And you still, to this day, have put together the best little outline of paranormal protection, who, what, where, when, everything. And this was years ago now. And again, you know, I have the school and the people who teach it, it's like, go talk to Kaedrich. Yeah, you know, you just, so you guys really want to check him out. So I'm just, my mind is beautifully expanding in all sorts of ways. So you guys listen to the whispers, look at those coincidences, because you're being talked to. So Kaedrich, thank you for bringing your amazing magic to my witching hour.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for this. I love doing this. I love talking with you. You're one of my favorite people in the world.
And vice versa, truly. So we have to do it more often. With or without the show. Yes. And I never do this, but any final words that you have for anybody out there to lead them into whatever we're being led into?
Yeah. Don't be afraid of who you are. Don't be afraid of who you were told that you were. Because you see, in my years of working with shadows now and really helping people heal through their shadows, the more I found people who are afraid to engage their darker side, who are afraid to engage their lighter side, it creates a stagnation. Those shadows dig in deeper the more you try to avoid them, the more you try to push them down or suppress them. But if you can be willing to just sit with them, sit with an uncomfortable feeling for 10, 15 minutes, and just let that feeling have a say, you're going to find out so much more wonderful stuff about you that you didn't even know, because you took that time to listen to that uncomfortable part of your being. So be willing to do that, and you'll be amazed at what you find.
Ladies and gentlemen, and all those in between, Kaedrich Olson, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.